You're listening to the PT and the Gib Dog podcast, episode 52. In today's episode, the two break down the NBA as it hits its midway point, remember Kobe Bryant, and do some quick hits on the Super Bowl, where Tom Brady will play next, and the Mookie Betts trade rumors. Let's do this. All right, podcast is back. We are mentally preparing for tonight's Celtics Sixers match. I think the NBA preview we did was right before Celtics Sixers, and now we have Celtics Sixers at the Garden, so nice little symmetry there. But should be a game, good game. The Garden is going to be rocking, and I'm really excited for it.
Yes, Al Horford actually playing tonight. Yep. In the first trip. Yep. That the Sixers made. Yeah, Horford was present in uniform, but did not play, so a little bit different. But while Al Horford is playing, I think we were just talking about this before we started this, one and then actually two key members of the Celtics, and the two I'm about to say, you might say, oh, Kemba Walker is the one you'll miss the most tonight, but I think the argument can be made that they're going to miss Cantor a little bit more. I saw a video this week at Cantor working out on Twitter, and he was just kind of doing drop steps against some dummy defense, and he wasn't moving very well. So that's a little concerning, and I think Kemba Walker's knee is a little concerning too, given this is game number six that he's missed. But while that's disappointing, I still think it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be an entertaining basketball game. I look for a Jaylen Brown, like, okay, I didn't make the All-Star game. Let me show you that I really deserved, like, 35 point performance, maybe. Gordon Hayward's put together a great stretch of five games here. See if he can do it. And then, you know, Tatum in his second game back from the injury might be, ready to, you know, what did you call it earlier? You said a nice national TV all-star performance from Tatum would be a must.
I agree.
But it's not just going to be those three. They're going to need something from someone else. And where that'll come from, I guess it'll be remain to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, you could see a Brad Wanamaker, Marcus Smart, you never know, hot and
why
cold.
Why didn't they bring Tremont Waters up?
I don't know why.
This is like a perfect Tremont Waters game.
I understand that.
Tremont Waters situation.
Romeo Langford will be playing, you never know. He could have a little run there. And Tice has played really well this year. So
forgot Taco Fall also got recalled today.
The victory cigar,
At least we'll get to, like, given how great your seats are, Pat, we'll get to, you know, actually see how... Remember how big we said, like, Gordon Hayward looked when we went a few weeks ago? how big's Taco Fall going to look?
So this is...
when you're 10 rows from the court.
I think this is the eighth game I'm going to this year. I don't think he's been at any game.
Oh, you haven't had a taco game.
He's been in Maine every single time. He's not only has it played, I don't think he's
but
been
you
with
know,
the Celtics.
If you think about it, he's only... I don't even think it's been double-digit games that he's been with the Celtics.
He was there a couple times at the beginning of the year, right? But then otherwise they've been trying to get him some playing time.
Right at the start. He played one game at home, and then I think he played against the Knicks in New York.
Yeah.
But other than that, it hasn't been very much taco time.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think verdict is probably unlikely that he'll get too much rep tonight.
If he's in, I think that's a good thing. I mean, they did have that one game where they couldn't get anything going against San Antonio. And they threw him in the first half, but that was the lone isolated situation.
Yeah.
I don't see them doing that tonight. I know lack of big man depth in the front court's a problem tonight, but I don't know if I want to see Taco Fall taking a crack at Joel Embiid. I don't think that's the right way to try to integrate him in.
That would not end well. Surprisingly, fourth
Roof would
final.
Come off the building. Roof would come off
go nuts. It would go nuts. Fourth and final matchup with the Sixers this year. Feels a little early before the All-Star break to have completed our slate with them. And of course, we're 0-3 after last year where we went, I think, 3-1.
Sixers Twitter account is talking about a broom could be coming out tonight. Oh, I didn't know we talked about sweeps in the regular season. This is such a Philadelphia 76ers.
I thought last year they were like, hey, we have the better seed. Like, you guys can win all the regular season games you want. We don't care about
and
this.
And not even from, like, a crazy Sixers Twitter account. It's the actual Philadelphia 76ers Twitter account talking about a regular season sweep.
Well, they have very few highlights this year. I mean, they beat Milwaukee. That was a good win. They really haven't had a great season. They'd be the sixth seed if the playoffs started today. They'd actually be playing the Celtics, which would be quite the series at the 3-6.
Probably not what we want.
I don't think we want that. No. I want to get to that too. Yep. Not scared of the Nets or the Magic, but we will get into it. See, this is what happens when we don't podcast for 3 months.
Yeah.
We got
a lot.
The thoughts are just coming out.
A lot happens.
I guess we should start with Kobe Bryant. I think you were the first on our text thread to identify the devastating tragedy that happened on on Sunday, and I think every single day, it's kind of taken over all sports media. And it's really been tricky to deal with. I mean, he's the first person who, I think he got drafted. We were just going into middle school, I think. So we really grew up with him, and our basketball fandom revolved around the time of him becoming who he was. Of course, the 2008, 2009, 2010 Celtics-Lakers rivalry, he was at the forefront of that. So really tough week to be a basketball fan. But you also really appreciate the NBA community and how the whole league has come together to really celebrate Kobe and remember everything that he was part of for his 20 years. So I don't know. I was watching the tribute last night, which I thought was very well done by the Lakers last night and LeBron's speech. But we'll see. I think it'll be a fixture at all NBA games this year, people remembering Kobe.
I think I saw when TMZ was the first one that actually tweeted about it.
Yeah.
When I saw the tweet, it was like it had loaded like 39 seconds prior.
Jesus.
So I think I hit copy, yeah, sent it to you and Kepler.
Yeah, instantly.
But then in the amount of time that I copied and pasted it to send it to a chat I'm on with some family members, they had taken it down. So I'm like, okay, is this not real?
It's a hoax.
Is this a hoax? Is it not real? But then it just kind of started to, you know, spread throughout. And obviously when Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted about it, you knew it had to have been.
Yeah,
it's, you know, we always say when it comes to things NBA that when Woj says it, it's probably right. And sadly, in this case, he put it out there. But, you know, you find it like it's something that, you know, you just you know, I hate to say this. I was never the biggest Kobe Bryant fan.
Of course not. We're from Boston.
I mean, as recent as last year, when not this past summer, but the summer before, the talk of how he spent a lot of time working out with Jason Tatum. Yeah. And then last year, how Tatum just lived and died by that mid-range jump shot. And, you know, I was cursing Kobe out all last season. But not that Kobe Bryant knew me personally, but, you know, if he probably would want me as a Celtics fan to,
of course,
react that way.
Of course.
And they played a lot of, sound bites and bits from his last game at the Garden back in 16 when it was. And, you know, his sentiments, you know, echoed that, just saying how, you know, how they showed him the love in pregame intros, but then booed him the minute he touched the ball. And I think the line that he said was, he goes, "Oh, I'm home." Like, and I believe, I mean, I don't think he was, you know, bullshitting anyone on that. Like, the boos, that hatred. I mean, there was that respect for how great he was. People hated him, and it was because of the uniform. It wasn't so much him; it was because of the uniform.
Yeah.
I thought about one memory that I had. I recall us going. I forget, it was either sophomore or junior year.
I think
it was college.
06.
It was I think it was June.
Sophomore.
Was a sophomore year.
I think it was
Celtics
year.
Weren't very good. It was the year after that game seven you and I talk about always in the first round against the Pacers.
Yeah, I think it was sophomore year.
I think Pierce wasn't playing. Celtics were bad, bad, bad.
Yeah,
so we got tickets to Celtics Lakers. That's probably the easiest Celtic Laker ticket anyone's come up with within the last 15 years, probably. Or easiest.
Yeah, it was like the Tony Allen, Wally Zerbiak.
Yeah, I think they were running plays for Brian Scalabrine in that game. That's how bad it got.
The Red Bull.
And I just remember getting so angry. The MVP chant started for Kobe Bryant in TD Garden. I mean, again, Celtics were down, but, you know, me being me, it pissed me the hell off. And in the bathroom at one of the timeouts, you know, it pissed a lot of guys out off.
I think that Lakers team was terrible too. I think it was
they weren't good.
I thought it was 06. I thought it was Smush Parker.
Yeah, they weren't very good.
Like,
they weren't very good either. But they had Kobe Bryant, so that's why it wasn't.
Well, that was the year the year he put up 81. I think he scored 40 on us.
Yeah,
he probably took 40 shots.
Yeah,
I remember that game. I remember the MVP chance. I think that was the only time I saw him. I know you saw him. Did you go in both 08 and 2010?
Yeah, in 08, I went to game two, the Leon
that's right.
The Leon Powell game.
I was in Vegas.
Yeah,
you enjoyed that one
better. Yeah, I went to that one. And then we went again. You know, Chris and I bought the tickets thinking, oh, this will never happen again. And then 2 years later in 2010, I think I was home from New York. And I'm like, the whole 2 days leading up to it, I'm like, we're going to do it. And then we bought tickets like 3 hours before the game. And that was the game four.
That was game four.
The Glenn Davis, Nate Robinson game.
That's right. I was in Dubai for that one.
Yeah, you were in Dubai for
that one. Not good timing, Pat.
So both Celtics wins, obviously. Yeah. Lakers won the title in 2010. But, yeah, you know, when I was watching, they were playing a lot of that game four of 10.
Yeah.
Celtics ended up winning the game, but they're obviously playing the part where the Celtics had a lead in that game, and then the Lakers had a crazy third quarter. Large part due to, I think, Kobe going off. Yep. And he just – and I you know, I obviously I didn't remember until I was watching it on the television. But I remembered him hitting those shots when I was at that game going, oh, this is not good. And
even game two in 2008, he had a mini rally that he started. Did. And, yep. And Poe almost put the game away.
Well, the Celtics were up 20 like going into the fourth. And I think they only ended up winning by like five or
they
six.
They cut it pretty close.
You know, I also was thinking to myself when the news was coming out, like in our lifetime, has anyone that has been like in the, I mean, not that Kobe's a lock to be like the Mount Rushmore of the game of basketball, but has anyone who's been that close to it in any of the big four professional sports died like this? I mean, you've had athletes die tragically. You know, you had Drazen Petrovic with the Nets back in the day. You had, I was thinking the next one that was maybe the closest as far as like, the highest profile and the most talented. I mean, maybe on the NFL side, cut down. You know, not that he was still playing, but like Sean Taylor with the Redskins.
Yeah.
I couldn't really think of one in the NHL. And then Major League Baseball, you've had a couple. A couple tragedies with some young pitchers, the Angels pitcher, Jose Fernandez with the Marlins a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But none of them, not even remotely close to. And short course, Kobe Bryant's. Was 4 years removed from playing, but nobody that close to their playing career, or anyone of that level where you is in the discussion of the top 5-10 players of all time in their sport.
I couldn't even So not only – so I think that's a good point. Not only from a Boston-centric perspective, not only can I not think of anyone who would meet that criteria – I can't even think of someone who, if they did, like, unfortunately pass away, it would have anywhere near the same impact as Kobe. I mean, Tom Brady's not really.
Well, that was the one I was going to say the closest.
I mean, that would be the closest.
That would,
but like,
that would be for here.
Yeah.
Where Kobe Bryant. Yeah, it's. I mean,
around the whole world.
I mean, people.
China.
And I hate to say the word hate, but right now, people who.
Yeah.
Were not. I mean, the only place that didn't really like Kobe Bryant was right here.
Yeah, like Boston, Massachusetts.
You know, only people that liked Tom Brady. Right here. that's why Brady's a little different. That's probably the closest comparison. The closest one for us and probably, you know, the closest thing we would have had to this is if, you know,
David Ortiz.
That probably would have been the closest to this.
Almost happened.
Certainly would have been a huge deal around here, but I think would have probably garnered not the national attention this is, but that would have been, like, in recent memory, probably the thing that would have been closest to this.
Yeah.
It was just kind of surreal. Like, I stopped in my tracks, but my wife, who doesn't get really into, like, sports things, like, every time anything Kobe-related has come on the screen, she's fixtured herself to the television watching. Yeah. She even asked me to record the Blazers game last night.
It was really good.
So she could see it when she gets back from New York.
The opening was great.
Like, it's amazing how this, how everyone, this seems to affect a lot of people. And it's more so outside because of Kobe. You throw in the whole dimension of his daughter being on the on the helicopter. All the other, her teammates, you know, you think 3 13-year-old girls lost their lives. That's the part that makes it even more sad, I think. And that's why it's taken this to another level. But,
It's been a real tough week. I thought LeBron did a very, very good job last night, a very poignant speech, trying to capture what he's been feeling as the person who's trying to bear the torch for the Lakers. So not to take this too morbid in that direction, but obviously something that's has to be talked about. And I'll say that we were too young in 86, the Celtics for their 16th title. So the title, they've only won one title since we've really been conscious of what's happening, and it was in 2008, and it was so much sweeter because it was over Kobe. That made it so much better than if we had beaten, you know, the Spurs of Tim Duncan, who won, I think, the year before, or any other of those, the Suns or whoever would have come out of the West. So I know he was someone who was a fixture in our life, and we loved to hate him, but I think we respected him. And I think the outpouring of support has been pretty phenomenal to watch. And I think he was also, not to continue this conversation too long, but like I think he was also the former player I was most interested to see what he would do next, right? Yeah. Like, he wasn't going to clearly be a coach. He wasn't clearly going to be an announcer. He threw himself into that Mamba Sports Academy and was a strong advocate for women's basketball, certainly on the creative side. I think he won an Oscar and an Emmy, so he was pushing his talents toward that side. And again, like, those voting blocks are all in L.A. I think there was a little bias there. Did he have the best work? I'm not going to debate that. But a tough one for sure. But if anything, it does remind you of the fragility of life and to really appreciate everything. And basketball's a game, but so much more out there. So Kobe Bryant. All right. Where do we go from there?
I don't know.
I had to bring it up.
But. Yeah, no, you do. I guess maybe we should turn our attention to the current state of our team that Kobe loved coming into play so much.
Yes.
Building that he said he loved playing in the most outside of Staples.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Green Team.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It's been a great.
Last time we talked, it was the night after Gordon Hayward broke his hand.
Yeah, that's true. We were what?
That's how long ago?
6-1 or 6-2?
10-1. It was 10-1.
We were 10-1.
We were like 9-1, 10-1. I think. If I recall.
Yeah, we did get started. It's been a good first half of the season. It's been really exciting to be at some of the games, and I know me and you went to the Chicago game a couple weeks ago,
wasn't their best game.
It wasn't either team's best game. Luckily, Chicago is not a good team and deservedly had zero All Stars, as they should. But it's been a fun team to watch. I think we've probably overachieved just a little bit. I think the difference between Kemba Walker and Kyrie Irving is pretty astounding to compare in terms of what the team's chemistry is. You've definitely seen Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown make the leap to the next level. Awesome to see Tatum get the All-Star nod. I know we had a little bit of a debate. I actually thought Brown was maybe slightly more deserving just because I think he's been a little bit more consistent. But the highs from Jason Tatum, I was at the 40-point game. I think it was against the Pelicans. That he had, and when he's playing well, he's scoring at will, which is so much fun to watch. He's hitting threes, he's hitting pull ups, he's getting to the rim. Still not getting to the free throw line, but the kid's 22, right? Like, he can work on this. It's fine. I know we were texting on the Lakers game 2 weeks ago on MLK Day, and I was doing my normal snark after the first quarter around how Tatum can't score against good teams, and then he put in like 15 in the second quarter or something like that. So. I think the Kemba, Tatum, Hayward, Brown foursome is as good as any foursome in the league right now, in terms of how they can switch on anybody, scoring versatility, anyone can bring the ball off the floor, all that stuff. Unfortunately, folks have been banged up. It's been hard to get all four of them healthy at the same time. Hayward was out for a few weeks with the hand injury. Kemba, as you said, is now missing his sixth game. Brown and Tatum have nicks and knocks here and there, but you're seeing them build that chemistry, and the question continues to be front court size and depth there. I think Cantor and Tice have done a really great job so far, probably exceeded our expectations when we did our initial podcast, but you're seeing tonight with Cantor out, that depth is going to be a problem, and if Embiid's down low, it's going to be a really hard team to defend with only six fouls from Tice, six fouls from Poirier. Grant Williams has been a useful player as a rookie, but he's 6'6", right? He's not going to cover Joel Embiid. So overall, really fun season. I'm optimistic. Are we going to get past the Bucks? I think the Bucks are better than last year. Celtics are better than last year too, but I think that remains a very big challenge. But you never know. You want to just put yourself out there as one of the top five or six teams, and then you never know what happens. Look at the Raptors last year. So that's been my reaction, but it's been a lot of fun. I know last season there a lot of those games were tough to watch, and a lot of that I think was not to throw Kyrie under the bus, but I think Kyrie had a negative impact on this team, and having Kemba in there as
but he had 54 points last night, Pat.
Yeah, they finally won a game, right? What are they, 6 games below 500?
Yep. It'd be the 8th seed if the playoffs started today.
That would be a very quick playoff run against Milwaukee.
To touch on a couple of things that you mentioned there, the big man rotation, and obviously a concern tonight in the last week or so with Cantor being out. But you kind of saw that people kind of were coming along the side that I think they'd had it figured out. Just at the level that Cantor was playing off the bench. I mean, he had a couple like 20 and 10 games. And, you know, Tice was giving you what you kind of expected, you know, Tice to give you as well. You know, and the talk of, oh, they need to add a big at the deadline had kind of that the talk had now shifted to now they need some bench scoring, you know, whether it be a stretch four, another shooter. That seemed to be more the focus that they could possibly. I still don't think they're going to do anything at the trade deadline.
I think they can.
You know, they're very strapped unless it's someone really cheap. But those guys that are unaffordable contracts are going to come at a high price.
Seems like more chance of getting a buyout guy than a trade.
Yeah, but probably. I mean, with that Memphis pick getting less and less, at this point.
John Morant's
I looked
good.
At that today. Like, they have a 3-point cushion. They have a 3-game cushion in the West for that 8 spot right now. I think San Antonio is like 3 games behind.
Yeah, that pick is going to be either that pick is in the teens.
Right, but
even if it's decent.
So then maybe do you decide? I mean, hey, that pick is what it is. You're not going to get much for it. That's probably what gets you one of these guys that could help you.
Yep.
That is on an affordable contract.
We definitely don't need more rookies.
We don't need
another 14.
Well, that's the other thing too, and that's the other thing about getting rid of the picks. You look at the Celtics roster situation. Yep. The only guys' contracts who aren't guaranteed next year are Javonte Green and Daniel Tice. Daniel Tice is going to be back on this roster, guaranteed or not guaranteed.
Yes, he will be back.
The only free agent is Brad Wanamaker. And then you've got your two-way guys. So really existing of the roster currently, the only person not – there's one roster spot. What are you going to do?
So Hayward, potentially, but he will opt into that player option.
But just realistically is what I'm saying. Even if he doesn't, they're probably going to try to bring him back.
Yeah.
So the point is, what do you have to do with all these draft picks?
Yeah.
If one of them is going to get you something that's going to help –
Yeah,
you know, you go ahead and do it. You don't need any more young guys. You don't need more young guys.
I agree.
But
I just think there's more buyers and sellers at the trade deadline. So I'm not sure even if the 13th pick or 15th pick is going to actually get you.
And not that they've ever subscribed to this either, but like, do you be a little bit more aggressive to, you know, require someone so someone else in the East doesn't? You know, I mean, this is just throwing a name against the wall. One person that they say could garner a lot of attention at the trade deadline is Derrick Rose with the season he's having in Detroit.
That's the one game I've seen the Celtics lose is when Rose put up about 20 on us.
You know, and I mean, obviously he's not MVP Derrick Rose, but
he's pretty good.
Could you imagine adding Derrick Rose to like something like that to a Celtics bench? I'm not so sure the fit's there, but I'm just saying like.
What's he making, like 10 this year?
Not even, I don't think. But I mean, at this point, it's affordable.
Who would we have to throw in? Like you'd have to throw in like Williams, probably.
Maybe, but I don't know if Williams is the one you want to part with.
You got to give up something though.
You got to give something to match the salary, and then the draft pick would be the big thing.
Give up, I hear you.
You know, but someone like him, someone like Davis Bertans, and Washington. I don't know if they're going to trade him.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they want to keep him, but it depends. There's probably going to be a bidding war for these people. Even some the Isaiah Thomas rumors.
I would love him coming back.
I've started to see float in and around out there.
He's making $2 million, so that's a lot easier to
make. A lot easier to make that trade.
What do you want, Washington? Pick a rookie. Anyone but Langford.
Yeah. So I mean, he probably could be had for not that expensive of a
13 of a price. Carson Edwards probably.
So I mean, you've heard that too. I'm not saying that's necessarily.
I would love IT coming back. He's not the same player, but I would love him.
But you've heard rumors like that. So
I think that's a no because Danny's had chances to bring him back and he hasn't. Right, so right. I think they've moved on and it was an amazing time. But
bench scoring is an issue though. Because you look the other night, obviously Cantor was out, so you got to factor him into a playoff rotation. But they played 8 guys.
Yep, it was tight.
And it was
it was
very tight. You had your starters.
You're talking about Miami, right?
Yeah, the Miami game. So Tatum was out.
Yep.
So they still played 8 guys. So I mean, you have Cantor and Tatum who would be in that rotation. The only 3 that played were Wanamaker. Poirier didn't play against Miami.
Oh, he did play?
No, I don't think he did. Jesus. I don't think he did.
They used Ogele
Williams. That's and, true against Bam. Watermaker.
You can use him against Bam.
So you kind of saw your first glimpse of a tight rotation. So you bring Tatum and Cantor back, and they factor in. Even so, you still need some more scoring punch. Because when you're at full strength, your scoring punch off the bench, realistically, is Marcus Smart or Enes Kanter.
Yeah.
But you still need a little bit more of a pure scorer coming off the bench.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they can add someone like that cheap here moving towards the deadline.
We'll see.
And we'll see how willing Danny seems to want to part with some of these pick assets that he has.
Trade it.
But, I mean, you got to be pleased with where they are. I think right now they're tied with Miami for third.
Right behind Toronto.
Right behind Toronto, who's, I think, percentage points ahead just as they played more games. Celtics still slowly catching up with the rest of the league. They had played so many less games than everyone else.
And an easy
I think right now we're in that span where like they had 21 games in 42 days. So playing every other day between now and I forget.
It's been a luxury.
It has been. So, you know,
it's good with all the injuries.
you gotta be happy with it. I mean, a little bit cause to concern that this thing with Kemba Walker keeps flaring up. That's why you maybe you're a little bit concerned. But
just our point guards and knees,
So you just hope he gets right, and they're just kind of managing it and just being on the cautious side. Yeah. Probably if it was a playoff game tonight, he's playing. Same thing with Cantor, but still something to think about and worry about a little bit. I think Tatum's gonna be fine. I think he came back pretty quick from that groin injury.
Yeah,
any serious groin injury, he wouldn't have come back as quick as he did.
No.
And I think, Jaylen Brown had that ankle, situation, and I think he's fine. So, health will be the key thing. Hayward's been looking fantastic the last five, six. Can we finally shut up all the people that have
including
said
me.
It's time to trade Gordon Hayward?
Including me.
Hayward
for love. I don't think we should do it.
I'm going to go on record. He's showing you why that's not a smart move at this point.
He's so versatile. You can plug him in. When you have all those guys healthy, he's not need to score. He can just facilitate, back screen. Get rebounds, get assists, score when you need him to. But you see it when Tatum or Brown or Kemba's hurt, and I would expect tonight Celtics need 20 from Hayward to have a chance tonight.
And God forbid if something happened in the first or second round, if one of those four goes down, you could probably maybe still get through because you have all those guys there.
Yeah.
You don't trade depth unless you're adding something that's better than him, and I don't see any scenario where you're adding anything that'd be better than him.
No, I agree. So my personal highlights this year from going to a few games, I think two hop out to me. One is saw Denver on a Friday night. Great game, 20-point win. At the end of the third quarter, there was a really fun sequence when Jaylen threw down a monstrous dunk, and then they stopped Denver, and then Tatum had a step-back three at the buzzer. That one was really fun. And then the Hawks game, if you remember, was a very close game. I think we were up by two in the last seconds, and they ISO'd Trae Young on Daniel Tice, and I was like, oh God, here comes three free throws. Tice is going to jump early, and Tice did an unbelievable job defending Trae Young, and I think he got a hand on the shot and helped ice that game. So it's been a fun year. It's been a fun team. And the East is pretty open. I mean, Milwaukee, of course, is having a historic year, and we should talk a little bit about the rest of the league. Celtics are one of, the six teams that have beaten Milwaukee this year?
Seven. Denver got them last night.
Denver got them last night. There we go. What they have done is incredibly impressive. And I think all this talk about LA, I think you have to look to Milwaukee as the favorite right now across the league, the way that they're playing. But otherwise, the East is completely open. I mean, Toronto is overachieving. Did I initially say they were going to underachieve, and then I changed my mind that they were going to overachieve? I forget what I said on Toronto. I think I brought it back.
You did. In the summer, you were down on them.
Then
when we did our season opening pod on opening night, you...
Then I thought more about it, and I'm like, Siakam, Gasol, Van Vliet, Lowry, they're still pretty good.
They've been good enough where Nick Nurse and his staff is coaching Team Giannis in the All-Star game.
It was close.
It was very close. Very close.
But, Milwaukee and I'm not scared of Toronto. It's Milwaukee and Philly that scare me. Those are the teams. I think I'm not scared of Toronto. I'm not scared of Miami. I'm not scared of Indiana. We'll see what happens once
they got Oladipo back.
Depot comes back. Yep.
Sabonis is playing at another level.
Yeah.
How things have changed a little bit in the last year there. You say talking about the league a little bit in Indiana. you had the two front court players, you know, you have Miles Turner and you have DeMontis Sabonis. The talk now is if Sabonis is the one you keep and Turner's the one you go because of the level that – I mean, what was the – people were the Celtic trade debate in the summer was, would you trade Jaylen Brown for DeMontis Sabonis? You know, I mean
– they both stepped it up a level.
They both stepped it up a level.
Different players.
Yeah, very different players. So based on, you know, what you feel the team would need at that point, I'm very happy with Jaylen Brown. I'm glad he's going to be around for the next 4 years.
Agreed.
But Sabonis is just taking himself to another level. You know, and it'll be interesting to see now how they fit now that you're integrating Oladipo back in, back in that mix with Malcolm Brogdon, just to see how they kind of mesh.
Dougie McBuckets.
And then the team the Celtics beat on Tuesday, Miami. Yeah. I mean, you know, I thought that was, I mean, the Laker win was very, you know, was an impressive win. The win against Milwaukee early in the season was impressive. But I got to say that that Miami win on Tuesday might be the most impressive win, I feel, for the Celtics all year, playing without Tatum, playing without Kanter, going into Miami where Miami had lost two games all year, all season long. They were 9-1 in their last 10, a place historically that the Celtics never really play well in.
Yeah.
And they go in and they, you know, I mean, Miami sort of kept it close, but I always felt the Celtics were in control of that game, you know, from start to finish. So you like to see that, especially against the team probably outside of Milwaukee that, and I know we're 0-3 against the Sixers this season. Like, a series against Miami would scare me.
It'd be a fun series.
You know, it'd be a fun series. It'd be a scary series.
They weren't entirely healthy against us, by the way. Nunn and Winslow, I think, were both out.
True. We didn't have Tatum, and we were missing one of our all-stars.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, it's a little fair. I mean, we can say that now.
Yes.
We can actually say that. That's a fact.
Yes.
Right now, we were missing our second best player.
Yes.
Or first best, whatever. 1A.
We were
missing 1A or 1B, whatever order you want to put them in. But that was a very encouraging win. You know, it was good to see that after the disappointing, you know, loss at New Orleans, which you could kind of chalk the whole, that was the day of the Kobe Bryant news.
I mean, Tatum also didn't play that game.
But, you know, you could chalk that up to that as well. Yeah. You know, I'm going to give them a pass on that one.
I would.
But it was nice to see them quickly rebound with that nice one at Miami and then to keep it going, which I think I texted you that morning. I feel a trap game against Golden State coming on. I felt a little bit. I couldn't have been more wrong about that.
Yeah.
But I was glad that that didn't happen.
I was glad to see Steph Curry there too, watching on the bench.
Videos of him shooting before the game. I mean, he looks fine. Like, it's just.
Yeah,
They're not going to rush him back. If they're smart, they don't let him play the rest of the year.
I mean, why would he
will come back eventually.
He'll play in April.
But listen, I mean, I think they have the worst record.
They have the worst record right now.
Imagine the Warriors are going to get the number one pick, and then they're going to add Steph Curry and Klay Thompson back to their team next year.
Yep, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. That was funny to watch Marcus Smart go from, I think he was like 1-for-10 heading into the end of the third quarter, and then he ends up somehow hitting 5 or 6 threes. That's a subplot that concerns me a little bit, is Marcus Smart's three-point volume. And 2 years ago, he was a terrible shooter when we were doing this podcast. He was like under 30% for much of the year. It wasn't an obvious decision for Danny Ainge to re-sign him, but clearly 2 years in, it was absolutely the right decision. It's paying dividends. He's still, I think, at 35 or 36% from a three-point shooting perspective, but it's so hot and cold. And some of the threes he misses with 20 seconds on the shot clock, when you have Walker, Tatum, Brown, Hayward.
Oh, that makes you mad.
And all those guys can get shots, and it's like, oh, Marcus, why are you shooting this? Like, that's exactly what the other team wants. But, you know, he'll surprise you, and he'll hit those shots. But
to his credit, though, he's worked on it.
Like yes, of course.
His offensive game has gotten better.
Of course.
And, you know, I they're going to need that. If they don't add anything, if they don't add anything in the trade deadline that's anything substantial, that, you know, they're going to need him. You're going to need a couple Marcus Smart, like, near 20-point performances in the playoffs if this team is going to have aspirations of getting to where they want to go.
And he's part of the team. I mean, he's got to be out there and Does he make them slightly worse offensively than other things you can potentially do if you need to play a big lineup? Maybe. But having him there defensively always ends up with the loose ball, creates points, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So So it's been an East-dominated conversation. Any reactions from the West? I mean, the one thing that jumps out to me is the way that Dame Lillard has played the last
two weeks. Yeah, that was pretty impressive last night.
Dude's averaging like 40 a game for the last seven games.
Blazers wouldn't be in the playoffs today, though.
They wouldn't be, but they're not be. That eighth seed is doable.
The
Grizzlies have it.
The Grizzlies have it. I think the Spurs were next.
Yeah.
And then... Spurs were next, and then after that, it was the Blazers.
Blazers and Pelicans, yeah.
And I think I recall last couple games, yes, but up until this point, I think the Blazers are one of my teams that I said that people in the West were kind of forgetting about.
Yeah.
Up to this point, no, that hasn't been the case. but they're showing you that they are capable and talented.
They made the Western Conference Finals last year.
If they sneak into a 7 or 8, I'm not saying they would beat the Lakers or they would beat the Clippers or the Nuggets necessarily. But maybe the Nuggets, depending on who, depending if it was the Nuggets.
Will Nurkic come back this year?
I don't know.
I have no idea. It was a bad injury, I know.
He'd be an upgrade over Whiteside, although I think Whiteside's done a decent job
he's
for them.
Better. Team
Lillard. That's the team that, a top seed in the West would probably...
You hate seeing them in the first round.
Ask the Lakers last night.
Yeah, you hate seeing them in the first round.
Right? Do you think that they want to have to worry about Dame Lillard in the first round of the playoffs? No, I don't think so.
No, he wins one or two games single-handedly.
I think, the West is going to... It's as long as the Clippers finish in the 2 or 3, I think you're going to see an all-LA conference finals, and that's going to be fun.
That'll be a lot of fun.
And I think it's trending. It's trending that way.
Yeah. Look, Clippers still have a big man problem. Montrezl Harrell, love the guy, but when the Lakers put that, not that I love JaVale McGee, but when they have JaVale McGee, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kyle Kuzma all out there, and your biggest player, I mean, Zubac, okay, fine for the Clippers, but Harrell's playing the five for them, and he's maybe 6'7", right? And I realize Paul George and Kawhi can D up on these bigger guys, but they're just less effective when they're trying to match size with someone like an Anthony Davis. So we'll see. A lot of chess matches that will have to happen there. Clippers come to town in a week and a half. I'm optimistic. I'm hopeful. I will be going to that game.
That's one of your games, right?
That was my first pick. I was going to take the Warriors because
good move there.
Steph hadn't gotten hurt yet, but
I knew that was one of your games.
Yeah, that was my top pick. So it's not a back to back, so Kawhi should play, but it'll be good to have Doc in the house regardless. And even if you don't have Kawhi, you still have Paul George, you still have Lou Williams, Montrez. Harrell is always fun to watch.
Who drew the straw to go with you to that one?
I think that will
have
be.
You not made the decision.
That will be at least. I think that'll be at least.
Wow! All right.
That'll be at least in the game. But this is a great stretch for me right
solid
now because it's
solid move.
I've seen, the Chicago's and the Detroit's and the Washingtons and the pre-Zion Pelicans. Those are fun games to go to too. But the next three with Philly, the Clippers, and then the Nets, which I'm sure Kyrie will figure out a way to skip it. But if Kyrie does come back, that will be an interesting one to watch for sure. So we will see. All right, a lot of good NBA talk. I guess we should touch on the Super Bowl. Weird feeling. I'll tell you, earlier this week I forgot it was even happening this weekend.
Well, it's been overshadowed by the Kobe stuff. But
for sure, that's true.
But that's true. But yeah, no, that's definitely been the case. And what the world has wanted, Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl instead of Tom Brady, has occurred. I'll be totally honest with you. I just haven't really had the time to focus on it or pay attention to it. I'd love to see Garoppolo go and win one. I think that'd be fun. It's a great storyline. I'll sit here and be honest with you. I can't say I really care one way or the other who wins.
I don't feel
a less stressful Super Bowl Sunday for us.
For sure.
But it's just a little weird. It is weird. It is weird for sure.
Last year was stressful.
And obviously with the level of uncertainty surrounding the Patriots too, that maybe is another reason why we might not care about it as much this year. But
It's the first Super Bowl because the two other times they didn't make the Super Bowl. So they had the Rams, they had the Eagles, they had the Falcons. They had that really tough loss to Denver. It didn't go. The year before that, they had the Seahawks. Then they had another really tough loss to Denver. So it's really been And I guess they had a tough loss to the Ravens the year before that. Then they were in it against the Giants. I mean, I guess I'm just going back in time. And yeah, they've been in every single AFC Championship game. So it really has been that 2009-2010 season when the Ray Rice and the Ravens ran all over them. It's been a decade since they didn't deserve to be there.
Well, they didn't this year.
They didn't. They didn't. And, you know, the Titans, maybe we should have won that game, but I don't think you get through KC and potentially Baltimore regardless. So definitely going to be more relaxed. I don't have strong rooting interest, but after living in SF for 4 or 5 years, I'm going to be rooting for the Niners. I think it'll be fun to see if Jimmy can win one. But it is going to definitely come down to they're going to make Jimmy have to make a play. He's shown this year that he can do it. Just because he only had 8 attempts in the NFC Championship game doesn't mean that he's not a good quarterback, and there's a reason they're paying him $30 million a year. But it'll be interesting, and in my view, I think the SFD, no one can match up with the KC offense, but I think the SFD is better, and they have more – they're closer to the KC offense than the KC defense is to the San Francisco offense, the way that Mostert and the rest of the team and Kittle can move the ball. So I like SF winning by 3 on a Robbie Gould field goal, but we'll see. I finally got good numbers and squares. I think I got 7-0.
You got Garoppolo winning like Brady won his first 3.
Oh, God, three. Yeah. It's not doing anything. Yeah. Game manager.
Yeah.
People forget that.
Yeah.
Forget that. Of course, the ones that Brady loses when he throws for 500 yards against the Eagles, right?
Yeah. Right. Giants games. Right. Exactly. But,
we'll see. It'll be much less stressful, and we are very fortunate as Patriots fans to be able to, you know, enjoy a stress-free Super Bowl and not feel too many regrets about this team, because I think we would be probably a touchdown underdog to both the Chiefs and the Niners.
Probably.
Is what I would say, because, I mean, we just, man, tough year. But, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people around here care less about the Super Bowl now and more so what's Tom Brady going to do. And, you know, I really wish I could tell you what he's going to do. I have no idea. I really have no hot take or any opinion to form on the matter. I think the picture of him walking into or out of the football.
That?
I don't know. Adam Schefter said today it might have something to do. No, it might have something to do with like a commercial or something.
That's
because
so dumb,
I don't know. I really don't think it has anything to do, because Tom Brady's the last one to put his life like there out on blast on social media or send a cryptic tweet or Instagram post
say
anything about his future.
It's probably some commercial where he had to do it, so that's why he can't say anything.
I mean, I think he's going to want money. He wants to be paid, and I don't blame him. It's just going to be a matter of, do the Patriots feel is 43-year-old Tom Brady worth $25, $30 million a year? And, you know, you look at it objectively, and the answer to that might be no.
It's no.
The answer is no. But what is your alternative?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's not Jared Stidham.
No, what is your alternative? You know, Philip Rivers is going to be out there.
QB swap when we get Rivers and the Chargers get Brady. But yes, I hear you.
I didn't say I wanted Philip Rivers. I'm just giving you the names of quarterbacks that'll be out there. And, you know,
can we get Bridgewater?
Andy Dalton will probably be out there after the Bengals take Joe Burrow.
Can we get Bridgewater?
That'd be the one if Breeze goes back. Can't believe we're having this conversation, but it's
so when the season ended, I'm like, he's going to LA. We're not going to pay him $30 million. He doesn't deserve $30 million. LA could pay him $30 million. That team's terrible.
I'm not so sure.
They have a huge stadium. They need to fill it. Why not? He's going to live in LA after he retires anyway. Why don't LeBron it up and get out there early? But it's worn on me since, and I have now shifted back toward, he's going to be back. It'll be a 2-year deal. We'll pay him $50 million over 2 years. You're probably overpaying, but I don't know. I mean, I think he still do it because I just don't see an alternative. It's we don't have a high enough pick. We don't even have a second round pick. Like, I would love to trade up for Tua. I would love to figure out a way to do that, but there's no way to do that. We don't have a second round pick this year. Like, there's no way to make the draft to make it work.
Sure, you say he wants to end up here, but Pat, look at the landscape of every other professional sport and the greatest players to play each of those respective sports, and how many of them actually do finish their career with the team that they started with?
No,
it's not common. Michael freaking Jordan played for the Washington Wizards. you know, at the end of his career.
Why did he do that, by the way?
I don't know, but he did. Joe Montana, the one that everyone compares Brady to, and Montana's the one to come out to say this week, and has, not that he said this to Brady directly, but through whatever outlet he was giving the interview to, if you don't have to leave, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's someone who did. It's funny that
Montana's
first team and second team are playing in the Super Bowl.
He wins regardless.
but Joe Montana finished his career in a different uniform. Peyton Manning finished his career in a different uniform. Won a Super Bowl with that other team. You know, look at the NBA. We mentioned Jordan. The next people that you talk in the Jordan like down the line, LeBron James is on his fourth different team if you count that he did Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland to L.A.
Yeah.
You know, the only one in the NBA that
Kobe
is up there, stayed with one team the whole time, is Kobe Bryant. And Jerry West talked about it this week, how close he was to committing to the Clippers and going to the Clippers.
Yep.
My point being, it doesn't happen.
What do you
look
gain?
Look at here in Boston.
But what do you gain?
Different thing. 43. We said we wanted Paul Pierce to finish his career as a Celtic.
I mean, is that,
it didn't happen. He's not at that level, but it doesn't.
Yeah,
let's
hit Ray Bourque. Let's hit Bobby Orr.
Let's hit them all. Sure.
I agree.
It doesn't happen. You know, and I think
Mookie Betts in a minute. I mean, if he's 37, it's one thing. He's 43 in August.
Yeah.
Like, what does he have to gain? I mean, yes, like, let's take the Chargers for an example. Like, they have a better receiving core than the Patriots do. Now, he hasn't played with them, but, like, Keenan Allen is a great talent. I will give you that. Is their offensive line that much better? No. Running backs? I mean, I love Austin Ekeler, but, like, him and Gordon? No. Like, are they going to win, like, 9-10 games? Okay, maybe, but, like, is it worth doing something completely new? I mean, I don't know. It's a weird – he obviously doesn't need the money.
No.
He wants the respect. And that's why
I don't blame him.
But who's calling the shots? Is it Belichick or Kraft, right?
Well, if it's Kraft, then –
if it's Kraft, he's coming back. He's coming back. And if you pay him $50 million over 2 years, is that too much? It's probably $10 million too much. But, again, what is your alternative as a Patriot? Jared Stidham does not look ready. We don't have draft capital to get someone at the top of the draft.
Nope.
The free agent class, I mean, the Red Rocket, Andy Dalton, does not excite me. Tua excites me. Teddy Bridgewater maybe excites me. Jimmy Garoppolo would excite me, but we made our decision and we won a Super Bowl and made another one, so it's cool. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I think he comes back, though. I thought for a while he'd go to the Chargers. I mean, what other teams are there? Like Tennessee, they're going to franchise
Peter Tannehill. King floated to Tampa Bay this week.
But why would you do that? Like, you're going to wear a fucking pewter red, like, Tampa Bay.
He's got some toys to throw down there, though.
I mean, potentially, but you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Like, ugh. I just feel like, is it really worth it for $5 million extra a year? Is it really worth it? You're not going to win a Super Bowl. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. If he's going somewhere to win a Super Bowl, that's what Manning did. Manning went somewhere because he saw Von Miller and a defense and was like, I'm going to win a Super Bowl with this team. I need to get to at least as many Super Bowls as my kid brother, so I need to do this. And that's what he did. None of these teams we mentioned, I think, have any chance at winning a Super Bowl with Tom Brady.
Or any of the ones that, like, are Super Bowl level don't have the pressing need for a quarterback that would, that they would move on from their existing quarterback. Like, what did someone – just you hear the count – there's been a lot of different teams that have been floated around for them. I think the closest one that someone mentioned this week, and I don't know how – they said the Minnesota Vikings.
They can't move on for Cousins.
They have to pay
him $30 million regardless.
But that's my point. Yeah. That's what I'm saying to you. Like, of all the names that I've heard, like,
Cousins is a better quarterback than Tom Brady.
They're just throwing stuff against the wall. But that's the only, like, situation where you throw Tom Brady into, and then he might have a chance to go win one. He might.
Yeah.
The rest of the names, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the playoff teams, Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. Strong. Kansas City Chiefs, Pat Mahomes. Strong. Tannehill's going to come back to the Titans. They were a very good team.
Brady would be an uphill over Tannehill.
Yeah, but
but I'm not sure that the Titans duplicate that success
healthy
again. Right.
I don't know. You're hitting the ball off all game anyway. Does he want to do that? Probably not. like if we flip to, I mean, the Bills, it's not gonna be that's Houston, not going to happen. Texans, not going to be Texans.
Giselle Bundchen's not living in Buffalo.
That is not a thing. Like the Saints have three quarterbacks. They have to decide who they want to bring back.
You bring back Drew Brees before you bring Tom Brady. I don't even know why people are talking about the Saints as a possibility.
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, Garoppolo's there forever.
Russell Wilson in Seattle.
He's not going anywhere. Rodgers, obviously, not going anywhere.
Carson Wentz, they're not going to sit Carson Wentz for Tom Brady. I mean, yeah, it's just you're right. There's it's not there.
The Chargers potentially. I mean, they made the playoffs the two prior years. They do not have a quarterback right now. I mean, the Chargers is the only one that makes sense to me. Yeah, it's the only one that makes sense to me. And again, the LA thing. And I can see if they give him $30 million a year for 2 years, maybe he does it because he's going to live there after he retires anyway. And if the Patriots don't give him 2 years $50 million, and he. If it's 2 years 60 versus 2 years 40, he probably takes the Chargers deal. But if the Patriots can step up and give him 2 years 50, he'll probably take it. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. And, of course, that's all we're talking about here in Boston. I owe you 2 minutes on Mookie Betts. I'm going to give it to you right now. It seems increasingly likely they're going to trade him.
And Pat's still mad about it.
I'm upset about the situation. I'm not mad at Betts. I'm not mad at the Red Sox. I understand the situation. Maloney came out this week, gave some info, right? So 3 years ago, we offered him 5 year, $100 million. He said no. 2 years ago, we offered him 8 years, $200 million. He said no. Last year, we offered him 10 years, $300 million. He said no. He has done better and better every single year. He's bet on himself. And all those offers by the Red Sox were rational, given where Betts stood, where he was under team control. And Betts said no and bet on himself, and he could have taken hundreds of millions of dollars guaranteed. So I'm sad because we're going to trade him. We've offered him 10 years, $300 million, $30 million a year. His ask was 12 years, $420 million, which is Mike Trout money, $35 million a year. I'm sad that we can't just do 10 years at 35, 10 year, $350 million, ship it, you're good, sign him. He's a fixture in right field for the next decade. I don't know why we can't do that. It's unfortunate that we can't do that. So it seems likely he's going to LA. If you're the Red Sox, if you can offload David Price's contract and get some prospects, it's a good move. It's sad for Red Sox fans. Because who are the folks that you get excited about? I mean, Rafi Devers, he's 22. He's a great prospect. Bogarts is a good shortstop, but no one else really excites you, right? So it'll be sad from a rooting interest perspective. Here's where my head's at. And it's funny with this Patriots run the last two decades, because when we were growing up as sports fans in the 90s, Patriots sucked. I mean, the second half of the decade, they were better with Bledsoe, but they were terrible when we were growing up as sports fans. And I know your first love is the Celtics. My first love is the Red Sox. And I think for me, two things. One, if they trade Betts and don't get a good return, and two, if this 2018 investigation turns out to be pretty bad, I'm not going to commit to this, but I might become a Dodgers fan. I've had two players that I have overwhelmingly loved as Red Sox, and one was Nomar Garciaparra, who, by the way, had a better first 7 years than Derek Jeter. The stats back that up. He unfortunately got hurt. Jeter didn't. Whatever. Second person is Mookie Betts. I don't really like anyone else on the Red Sox team. So why should I root for this allegedly cheating, you know, rebuilding $200 million payroll team when I can root for Mookie Betts and the Dodgers to win a title? I was at Dodger Stadium a year and a half ago and had a great time when the Red Sox won game five. So I'm just going to say this. We're going to see how things go. But it has crossed my mind that I might be rooting for the Dodgers.
It's ridiculous.
And I might be tuned into more games at Chavez Ravine.
It's ridiculous.
I might ban myself from going to Fenway, which is my favorite place on the fucking planet. I might ban myself from going to Fenway. So, Red Sox, the ball is in your court. Chaim Bloom, make a good deal. Why don't keep Betts? Go for the title. Bid your bid. If he doesn't want to stay with us, you know, Mookie's a free agent. He can do what he wants. And my dog's name will continue to stay Mookie, and even if he's a Dodger. So, That's my hot take of the day.
Pat, back in 1998, I was laying in bed. I used to listen to Ted Sarandis on WEEI going tonight.
We can't compare.
Going to bed at night.
We can't compare.
And the 2020 Sports Flash came through back when it was the 2020 Sports Flash. Before it was
I love Pedro's name.
It was trending now. No, not Pedro. When Mo Vaughn signed with the Anaheim Angels, Pat.
I was not distraught.
I did buy him Anaheim Angels hat, but I did not become an Anaheim Angels fan. So for you to say
Mo Vaughn had one okay year.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that will not happen. You're spewing lunacy right now. That's just
I don't know. Let's see how this investigation unfolds. If they're doing some shady stuff, that's going to be tough to get behind.
Yeah, they were doing it. The Astros were doing it. I will guarantee you the New York Yankees were doing it. I guarantee you the Dodgers were doing it, and guess what? They still finished first loser 2 years in a row. So, listen,
All right.
I do this happen.
This is great.
You're not gonna become a Dodger.
Might buy a Dodgers hat.
Stop saying.
Might buy a Betts. Might buy a Betts jersey.
Buy the jersey. Buy the hat. Do what you want.
I did the same thing. You bought a Mo Vaughn Angels jersey. You just bought an Antoine Walker jersey.
I thought that's what you're gonna say first.
I'm making sure you didn't buy a Mo Vaughn jersey.
That was a Jim Beam influenced purchase.
I'm aware.
Patrick.
I was there.
That Antoine Walker jersey, which I don't even have anymore. That would be great to have right now. I don't even have it. I think I donated it to Goodwill or something.
No one wants that jersey.
That with my Marcus Camby Toronto Raptors jersey and my.
Eric
Montrose Celtics jersey.
Okay, that's a bad one. You don't want that one.
That was back in the day. I wanted a Dominique Wilkins Celtics jersey.
And you got a Montrose.
And my mom said, no, don't get it because Wilkins won't be here very long.
She wasn't wrong.
But Montrose will be.
She was wrong about that, too. Yeah. I remember when BC beat Montrose at UNC.
I think I was the only one in the town of Andover walking around in an Eric Montrose Celtics jersey. But anyway.
That's one statement that no one ever needs to make. All right, we got to get to this basketball game. Good to be back on the pod. Lots to follow, both in the NBA, the Super Bowl, and, of course, the Mookie Betts Watch. We are out.